Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, there's progress in MLB and the union's labor negotiations, although we may have to put the word progress in finger quotes, and we'll talk about that. Plus, we'll talk about today's upcoming announcement of who made the Hall of Fame, and we'll talk about Mookie Betts' offseason so far. So, let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers. Your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Vince and I are doing a split episode today, so he will be with you for the second half of this show. We want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. Like I said, I'm Jeff Snyder, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the latest news. MLB and the union met on Monday and had a productive, I guess, session. First, the positives that came out of this. They are closer to an agreement than they were. MLB, or the union, backed down on at least one thing. They had been pushing for some sort of tweak to when players hit free agency. They wanted players of a certain age to be able to hit free agency after 5 years instead of after six. MLB had said that that was one of three issues they were not willing to negotiate on. And the union backed down on that one. So technically that puts them closer to an agreement. The other good thing that came out of this is the two sides are meeting again today, which is, you know, the fact that they're meeting again is good news. And hopefully it's a sign that they are feeling the urgency a little sooner than I thought they might. I thought it would take until around the time spring training was supposed to start that they would start feeling a little bit of urgency, and maybe they actually are feeling it a little bit early, which would be nice. We'll see. I don't want to get my hopes too far up because the two sides are still pretty far apart, but the fact that they're meeting a second straight day is probably a good thing. Now, the negatives. Evan Drellick in The Athletic had a pretty good summarizing article about what went on. I'm going to read one quick paragraph. He said, some on the players' side were irked, too, by Rockies owner Dick Monfort, the chair of Commissioner Rob Manfred's seven-owner labor policy committee. Monfort, people with knowledge of the meeting said, complained about the difficulty at least some owners have affording teams and the ancillary costs of ownership, such as security and COVID-19 measures. I am not going to be the first person to say this. I'm not going to be the last person to say it. I'm not going to say it in the most creative way, but I'm going to say it anyway. Look, Dick Monfort, if it is such a burden to you to own an MLB team, put it up for sale and watch how many people want to buy it. That's why nobody buys your argument about how, woe is me, it's so hard owning a baseball team. I could probably only sell it for $1.5 billion right now. That's what you sound like, Dick Monfort. I used the baby voice where you can't quite say your ahs because you're a little baby. That's what you sound like. Look, your first name is too easy of a target, so I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to call you a baby and say, look, if it's so hard to own a team, put it up for sale. And then you won't have to have that burden and you'll have a crap load of money in your wallet like you don't already. Look, I get it. Some teams are in better financial situation than others. Every Major League Baseball team is in a good financial situation. And if that's wrong, if I'm wrong, it's easy. Just open up your books. And that's the problem here. MLB ownership, they refuse to open up their books. So they cry poor all the time. And yet every time a team goes up for sale, it sells for a record amount. And everything that we do know, you know, attendance is up. Everything tells us, owners are doing just fine. And so unless you actually have some proof that you want to show that you're actually losing money, look, nobody is going to feel bad for you that you are only making $80 million a year when some owners are making $200 million a year. Who cares? Only making $80 million a year is not a sympathetic position. I'm not anti-ownership. I like business owners. I think they are important for the world, for the country, for the economy, everything. But business owners who are making a crap load of money and then complaining about not making as big a crap load as other business owners don't get any sympathy from me or from anybody else. So the fact that Dick Monfort is even on this committee when he has shown time after time that he's bad at owning a baseball team is a questionable thing. And then that he's in there whining about it. Oh, poor, poor me. Shut up, Dick Monfort. Get off the committee. Sell your team if you don't like it. The other thing that kind of bothers me about the whole thing is that Major League Baseball has a list of three things that they are not willing to negotiate on. And they happen to be pretty important things to the union. The other two are the time to reaching salary arbitration and the amount of revenue sharing. And, you know, maybe they're not as hardline on those. And maybe by the union, I keep wanting to call them MLB, but by the union giving in on the time to free agency, maybe that will inspire ownership to be a little bit more flexible, at least be willing to negotiate on time to arbitration and the amount of revenue sharing. The reason the union doesn't want revenue sharing, or they want less revenue sharing, is because they feel like small market owners who are getting a bunch of revenue sharing don't have the motivation or the incentive to actually put out a good team because they can be profitable even with a bad team. And yeah, that's bad for baseball. I don't know that they have to affect the amount of revenue sharing to fix that problem. I do think changes to the draft order, as I've laid out before, would solve a lot of those issues. And there are other ways to do it besides a heavy-handed change in the amount of revenue sharing. So maybe that one is something they can come to a compromise on. I did read that the union came down from the union wanted to reduce the amount of money moving between teams by about $100 million. And their more recent proposal was only about $30 million. So maybe that's a way. $30 million split between 30 teams. Simple math tells you that's $1 million a team. That is not that big a deal. And so maybe that's a good way for the union to claim victory by, oh, yep, we reduced the amount of revenue sharing. And for ownership to claim victory, yep, we kept revenue sharing about the same. So maybe that's a place to compromise. And then maybe the league will give in a little bit on the time to salary arbitration, let people hit arbitration a little bit sooner so they can make money a little bit younger. I don't know. But the fact is they made a little bit of progress and they're meeting again today. And so I'm going to take that as good news. Maybe MLB will have the good sense to not send Dick Monfort to this next meeting. He can go, you know, buy a new pacifier or get his diaper changed or something. But yeah, that's the news on the negotiations. And you know, I wish it was more news. I wish it was better news, but it is progress and I'm going to choose to be optimistic about it. And, you know, since I had already kind of resigned myself to losing a couple weeks of spring training, maybe this will even speed up that timeline a little bit. We'll probably know more after we hear about what happens at today's meeting. So we'll definitely have that for you on tomorrow's episode. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about the Hall of Fame voting results, give my predictions for what we're going to find out later today. And then Vince is going to talk to you about Mookie Betts' offseason. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And please keep it locked on Dodgers. Hey, it's a new year, and that means New Year's resolutions, and you might have a resolution to eat better. Well, Built Bar is the perfect aid to that resolution because Built Bar is better in every way. It tastes better, and it's better for you. It tastes like a candy bar. I love my cookie dough chunk Built Bars. I've got 2.5 boxes still in my pantry. I ordered a bunch before they took them away last time. They'll be back, and they still have a ton of delicious flavors available. And whatever you get, it's going to have like 130 calories, 4 or 5 grams of sugar and carbs, 17-ish grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar. It's much healthier for you and tastes just as good. So you can eat something delicious and not feel guilty about it. Just go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, I'm back. Before I jump into talking about the Hall of Fame, I want to give a quick plug to a podcast that's not on the Locked On Podcast Network, but we won't hold that against them. It is called the 1988 Tops Podcast. I've mentioned it a couple times here on the show, and I was on their show this weekend. The episode dropped Sunday night, so if you search for the 1988 Tops Podcast, you can find that, their most recent episode. It's me talking to them about Mike Socia, and it was a lot of fun. Some fun Tommy Lasorda stories. It's a great podcast if you like baseball and baseball cards, especially if you're around my age. You know, basically every episode they talk about a guy in the 1988 Topps baseball card set and go give a deep dive on his career and life. And so Mike Socia was a fun one. I love Mike Socia and really enjoyed talking about him. So if you want to check that out for your third listen today, you know, after Locked On Dodgers and Locked On Bets, you know, go check that out. Let's talk about the Hall of Fame. The winners or the electees for this year will be announced today. MLB Network is doing a 4-hour special. I would strongly recommend not watching 4 hours of talk about that. I know maybe it's that interesting to you. I think MLB Network is just thrilled to have something they can talk about since they're not allowed to mention any current players on any of their programming. I imagine doing programming for MLB Network during a lockout is probably pretty difficult, so I understand why they are excited to be able to have something to talk about. And maybe it's 4 hours every year. I don't know. But the results will be on Twitter. As soon as it's announced, it'll be on Twitter. So just check that out or go to the Hall of Fame's website. You know, all sorts of ways you can find out without having to subject yourself to 4 hours of a show. Prediction-wise, I talked a week or two ago with you guys. I told you who I would vote for. I had 10 guys on my ballot. Obviously, 10 guys aren't going to make it. I believe that David Ortiz is going to make it and nobody else is going to. I think Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are both going to fall a little bit short in their last season on the ballot. I think Curt Schilling is going to fall a little bit shorter even than them on his last year on the ballot. I don't think anybody else is going to make it. I'm hoping that Scott Rolen makes some progress in the votes. You know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think David Ortiz is going to make it. I don't think it's going to be an overwhelming election. I think high 70s in the percentage. You got to get 75% to be elected. I do think he's going to make it. And I think that's good. I think David Ortiz is a deserving Hall of Famer. So good for him. I've mentioned my thoughts on Bonds and Clemens. Obviously, they're two of the best players in baseball history. I understand why people wouldn't vote for them. It all comes down to what you think the Hall of Fame should be, and I don't necessarily think there's a right or wrong answer about that. But it is it's a fun debate to have, I guess. It give us something to talk about baseball-wise about who you think belongs in the Hall of Fame. And I just wanted to, not quite gripe, but one of my lamentations about Hall of Fame voting is it's so binary and it puts us into a situation where, you know, if you're having the conversation and saying, you know, if we're talking about Scott Rolen, for example, and I'm saying, yes, he's absolutely a Hall of Famer, and you're saying, no, he's not, you're not saying Scott Rolen wasn't a great player. And you know, Yadi Molina is a common one. You know, people talk about, is Yadi Molina a Hall of Famer or not? That's a very polarizing discussion. But nobody who says he's not a Hall of Famer is saying he wasn't a good player. And I think that's what makes me a little bit sad about the whole conversation is that it's kind of framed in a he is not deserving of this honor kind of thing. It can make it easy to come across as I don't like him or he wasn't good or, you know, in any of those things. And really, when we're talking about a guy, if there's an argument to be had about whether he's worthy of the Hall of Fame, by definition, he's one of the like 500 best baseball players in history. And that's a big deal. History is a long time. There have been a lot of people to play the game of baseball. And so if you're saying, well, I think he's only 452nd best, not 338th best, you know, that's still not an insult. And I think it kind of does a disservice to a lot of guys' legacies where, you know, people will dig in so hard on he's not a Hall of Famer. Jack Morris was a good example before he got in. You know, he probably isn't deserving of being in the Hall of Fame. He was absolutely a very good pitcher at some huge moments, and the Hall of Fame isn't a bad place because he's in. And it wouldn't be worse if he wasn't in. It's just a difference of opinion on things. And then obviously when you throw in the character discussions about whether a person's personal makeup is worthy of the Hall of Fame, it just makes everything a little bit worse. So in the end, I just want to kind of encourage all of us when we're having these Hall of Fame discussions to remember if there's even a debate about whether he belongs in the Hall of Fame, by definition, that means he was really, really good, and kind of remember that context of, you know, what the Hall of Fame means and what the broader scope of baseball discussion means. So that's about all I have for today. Vince is going to talk to you about Mookie Betts' offseason so far, some of the L.A. stuff Mookie's been doing, turning himself into a real L.A. guy, and, you know, doing some bowling too. So that's going to do it for me. I really appreciate you making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Hope you will continue to do that. And Vince will be along in a minute.
BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as sports continue their marches to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. It's a new year. They've got a new website that you can check on your laptop or mobile device today. And if you sign up and put a deposit, you get a 50% welcome bonus on that deposit if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline. Sign up, get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit. From football, basketball, hockey, UFC, and boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans, Vince Samperio here to finish out the episode. And like Jeff mentioned, I just wanted to talk a little bit about Mookie Betts' offseason so far, because it's been, you know, one of the better offseasons for not just a Dodger player, but almost any baseball player in recent memory. It all started off with him getting married, which is a big moment in a lot of players' lives that usually happens in the offseason. And looked like it was a good time. He did it in Los Angeles. He is a true and true LA boy at this point. You know, he had a few of his teammates there. We saw their videos from some of the wedding, and it looked like a good time. And, you know, no better way to kick off an off season than to get married to the love of his life. And we've seen a lot of videos from there. Nelly, the rapper, was there. I saw a video for the first time the other day of his wife singing to Mookie. At the ceremony, it looked like a good time, and as always, Mookie, you know, dressed to impress. But I think this is really the year we see the transition of Mookie Betts was a guy that got traded to the Dodgers to where Mookie Betts is officially a Dodger, because we've seen him everywhere doing everything. And not to say that there's some stuff that he had done before, but there's also some stuff that, you know, is more Los Angeles-like, and that's what we've seen. I mean, we've seen Mookie at a few Rams games already this offseason. We saw him the other day in the end zone seats with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and Mookie Betts, you know, getting probably the majority of the cheers from there. I don't know if Rams fans are cheering for Kawhi Leonard or Paul George, but either way, we've seen Mookie, you know, out there doing his thing in suites or wherever the case at different games. I believe we've seen him at a couple Laker games or at least one Laker game. And, you know, he's starting to enjoy this Los Angeles lifestyle, and it's good to see. I'm glad to see it. You know, he's endearing himself to the community. He's being a part of the Los Angeles community. And, you know, we've seen him do his charitable work had started since he moved over here. You know, he had already started, you know, handing out things at different, depending on, you know, what time of year it is, handing out things or being part of giveaways or being part of, you know, fundraisers or whatever the case is. We've continued to see that through the offseason. Now we've seen him join the LA sports scene, Laker games, Rams games, which have now become, you know, a prominent hotspot for LA celebrities and athletes together. That's been part of it. We saw him bowl another 300, which just adds to the legend of Mookie Betts, who a guy that is already one of the best players in baseball and also a guy that can bowl 300, which is the best score you can get in bowling. We've seen him do some stuff with the PGA Tour. It's been the offseason of Mookie. He recently launched a gaming website where he's going to start streaming, playing video games. So Mookie Betts has, you know, I'm not going to say he's like become a superstar. He's already been a superstar, but he's, you know, and like I said, endearing himself to Los Angeles and being part of the community, being part of everything else that's part of it. We even saw him in Vegas watching the Kentucky basketball team, which is not Los Angeles, but we saw him part of that. I believe that was brought on from when he saved the home, or when he got the home run ball back from the crowd after the guy hit his first career home run in Cincinnati. I believe he was somehow connected to that, so he was able to go see the Kentucky basketball team play. And yeah, I think it's just fun to see. You know, we if you weren't necessarily connected to Mookie Betts or like a Red Sox fan, you probably, you know, I don't know if Mookie did this over there in Boston. I'm not sure if he was, you know, part of the community this heavy, but I'd love to see it here. You know, it just makes it, you know, makes you realize that he does love Los Angeles. Not that it matters. He already has a contract, but he loves Los Angeles. He wants to be part of it. He's embracing the role that he has as being one of the biggest stars in the city. And it's just, you know, something that I really, really like to see personally. I know the other day he even posted something with his wife about handling business with the boss. So it says hashtag stay tuned. So something happening there, maybe with his wife. You know, not sure if it'll be Los Angeles based or not, but either way, it's something that's adding to the Mookie Betts empire. Like I said, he created the 50-50 squad for gaming. And, you know, it's fun. And what I hope is that he doesn't struggle when the season starts and then the trolls start coming for, oh, well, maybe if he was in the batting cage more this offseason, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. I hope that doesn't happen, not just for his sake, but just for the sake of people are annoying. But I don't think that's going to happen anyways. But, you know, it's possible, and we've seen it before from people saying, oh, he should have been in the batting cage instead of going here and all that other stuff. You know what? That doesn't matter. These guys are doing their work when they need to do their work, and they're having fun when it's time to have fun. So I appreciate the offseason of Mookie Betts. I continue to applaud him and am proud of him being on the Dodgers. He has ascended into a bona fide, you know, LA guy. I think he's pretty much there at this point. So congrats, Mookie Betts. Welcome to Los Angeles officially. And we look forward to having you for a long, long, long time. And that's all I had. I just wanted to talk about the offseason of Mookie Betts and everything that went on with him. And that's all we got for today's episode. We will be back tomorrow, maybe talking some labor stuff, definitely talking about Hall of Fame stuff as we see who gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. If you want to check out Locked On Bets for your second listen of the day every day, I would recommend doing so. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms, just like we are free and available on all platforms and on YouTube. If you want to find us on social media, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. If you want to find us individually, Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog and I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. You can also get a hold of us via text or voicemail at 323-863-LOCK. That's 323-863-5625. Or send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.